With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Wow. Did you get this tweet from Craig in Texas? Have y'all seen Kyle Farnsworth lately?
Oh,
holy
my God.
Crap.
This isn't real, is it?
I don't know. It's in the New York Post. Holy crap.
Remember, that's Kyle Farnsworth was likes the fight guy.
He is all veins. He is bowed up like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, he's a bodybuilder.
He's a bodybuilder, but all veins. Goodness gracious, dude.
That's got to be 100% natural.
100% natural.
100% natural.
Yeah. No. You could see, all the guys, Kyle Farnsworth would be a roid guy. There's no question.
Oh, dude, Kyle Farnsworth was huge. First of all, he was massive. He's 6 foot. When he played, he was like, what was his, let me see what he was referenced as.
That's 6 foot four, giant fastball.
6'4", 230.
For those of you who don't know who Kyle Farnsworth was, he's made his name in Chicago as a pitcher. Just a flame-throwing closer. I mean, just came in as hard as he possibly could.
He played 16 years.
He played 16?
Yeah, 16 years in the league. With
he really fell off at the end.
16 years, but he wasn't a closer, not for the most part. He ended up with 38 saves in his career. But he was, he had plenty of games. He pitched in 473 games. He threw, 1,000? I'm sorry, he actually pitched in, I don't know how many total games, 893 games. He pitched almost 1,000 innings. I'm sorry, his total saves were 57. So he was not a closer for the most part.
But he closed, yeah.
But he closed in Toronto.
Either eighth or ninth.
He threw gas. I mean, he's threw
that's
straight
all.
Gas.
But that's he all
was,
he had.
He was 6'4", 230. He was a big dude. And I remember somebody trying to fight him, and it did not go well. Kyle Farnsworth
smart.
Was likes to fight guy.
Of all the guys, don't go after Nolan Ryan and Kyle Farnsworth. Goodness gracious, that's a dumb way to go about it. Did you see where apparently they had a players' mandatory meeting on the PGA Tour, and Jay Monahan spoke at it, and apparently, they are going to have a series for the top 50 golfers that they are going to be giving away live-type money. They're going to have the top 50 golfers be competing in different events. It is going to be like an eight. I don't know how many. Let's see. The eight events will have no cuts, feature the top 50 finishers in the previous season's FedEx Cup standings, and include a $20 million purse for each tournament. Players outside that top 50 will compete in an alternate series of tournaments where they will fight to keep their cards and earn better status for the following season. So they're punching back. They're saving $5 million because the Live Tour not only gives $25 million to all of the players in that event, but they give more on top of for the team event. But at least it's a counterpunch by the PGA Tour after losing Brooks Koepka as well. And apparently there are a couple of guys who are moving over to the Live Tour that are playing this week in the Travelers, which will piss some guys off because they're taking spots of guys who could possibly be.
They're taking gypsies
on top of the money and the money that they're going to be taking from the Live Tour and those big contracts they're signing. They're taking spots in the Travelers.
We decided to leave the Travelers Tour and to go over to Live.
No, the Travelers is a tournament.
Oh.
Oh, I thought it was the Gypsy. Gypsies are now called Travelers.
Are they Romans or Travelers? What are they now?
Travelers.
They're Travelers.
Oh. No,
the Travelers is the company, the insurance company with the umbrella.
Oh, because I thought they were just taking a bunch of gypsies and putting them on the Live Tour now.
I think they're an insurance company. Okay. I don't know. I've watched the Travelers every year, and I have no idea what Travelers, the umbrella means. I guess they have an umbrella over you. I guess that's what it is. I don't know. Anyway, so a little punch back. We'll see if that doesn't affect in any way, shape, or form. And by the way, that Colin Morikawa stuff, he said, yeah, I ain't going. Now I'm getting, let me get back to my cereal and my milk and cereal, okay? I ain't going.
Okay, in 1 year, will he play and live?
No.
Okay.
He has said, no, I'm not going.
I remember when Brooks Koepka said, no, I'm not going.
Well, actually, it was DeChambeau said, no, I ain't going.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye, Biaz.
Get back to me in a year. We'll find out.
I'm going to tell you, Morikawa's not going. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay. We'll see if that's the truth.
Because he's going to be one of the top 50 guys, and he's going to be competing in those 8 events as well. So he's got his own. The PGA Tour just invented their own Live Tour. So they don't have to have that, and they get to play on the PGA Tour, and they get to play in the majors, and they get to play in the Ryder Cup. So you know it's going to be that little counterpunch by the PGA yesterday might actually save the tour.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean it's the same thing.
Enough to do it.
It's the same thing, other than the big signing bonus. Other than that,
okay,
it's going to be about the same thing.
Are they going to go to 3 rounds and have fewer events to make the same money?
Yes. No. Yes. They're going to have no cut. They're not going to do no. But the PGA Tour. But you get to play in the PGA Tour, Lance. Plus, you get the 8 events for the $20 million.
But do you play less events and make more money and only play 3 rounds?
Yes, you're going to be able to play. Well, you still got to finish in the the top of the FedEx Cup. No, you won't play less events. No,
you got to play 4 rounds.
Yeah. Oh, what? I mean, how? Wait a minute. So you're telling me you have to play that extra round, and that's going to take you off the tour and put you on the Live?
That extra round is an extra day for what? 14. That's 14 extra days. You don't think if a guy plays 14 tournaments, you don't think that's going to matter to guys?
No.
They're getting guaranteed money. Like, well, the PGA cannot guarantee that amount of money.
They're all happy about playing 3 rounds instead of 4, but that wasn't what made him go over. You know what made him go over? That $200 million signing bonus. That's what made him go over. And I only have to play in 8 events. That made him go over.
You know what else is kind of crazy is, here's the thing. The PGA better be very careful about the things that they do because of Liv, because it's hard to put the genie back in a bottle, right? So if they go out of their way and they say, we got to compete with Liv, and let's do this, and let's do this, and let's do this, and they overextend themselves, and then Liv goes, we're done, we shut down. Try rolling that back on the players.
Well, no, you ain't going to roll it back on the players, but here's the deal, is what this proves is that there was a lot more money on the PGA Tour than they were giving the players. Because if they can afford to do this now, well, here's the deal too, though, is that these things will be televised by as opposed to the Liv Tour. These things, they're not getting money off of television. I would imagine the PGA thinks we're going to get CBS, we're going to get NBC, we're going to get the Golf Channel. We're going to make we're going to be able to charge for these things, and we're going to get sponsorships where the Live Tour can't. So we might be able to pay for it. But to me, it said, wait a minute, you guys were able to do this all this time? You were able to throw $20 million at 8 tournaments, and you haven't before? Maybe Phil's got a point. Now, maybe this leverage that the Liv started is actually opening up a lot of doors for people to make money, more money on the PGA Tour. And the PGA Tour ain't just pocketing it.
Well, but do you think that's what they were doing?
I think they were making a bunch of money.
Well, and so, yeah, but hold on a second. That's not always fair. Like, you're going Phil Mickelson talking points now.
Well, absolutely. Well, doesn't this prove that there is money out there, money out there that the PGA Tour wasn't giving up?
Let me ask you something, because you're around enough of these events to know this. How much do any professional entities do for charity, and how much does the PGA do for charity?
Well, the PGA Tour does the most.
They raise a ton of money. Some of the
Those are individual tournaments that are doing that. All of the money that is raised are raised by those communities, and they go because everybody that works those tournaments, for the most part, I know here in Houston it was the case, that they were volunteers. And so all of the ticket money, all of that stuff that was going on, they put towards. Now, hey, people were still making money. Don't get it wrong. They were donating more to charity, but people are still making money out there. And the PGA Tour has a bunch of money. Those television contracts are big. And make no mistake, if the PGA Tour can come out right now and say we're giving up $20 million on 8 events because we want to compete with what the LIV is doing, then that money has been there. And money has been there, and they've been able to do this before. And maybe Phil was right. Maybe now, Phil, not right about. Hey, I'm going to go take that money. I don't care who they kill, Kasagi, or the 9/11. I don't give a rat's ass about that. But maybe they needed this leverage for the PGA Tour to open up them. They still haven't opened up the books, but they opened up the pockets, didn't they?
More. Yeah.
Yeah.
They did more. I don't know that. I mean, what do you expect them to do? Players, I can tell you this, there is no other way other than, here, let's see what we can do money-wise, because the idea that you're going to say you're suspended, players aren't going to care. They're going to go keep taking more money, and frankly, you can still make more money on the LIV than you're going to in the PGA Tour.
I mean, well, you still can, yeah. And it's less work. It's less work, and it's more money. But again, if you like, if you like the history of golf, you can't play at these storied tournaments. You can't play in the Ryder Cup. Mm-hmm. And who knows how long the majors are going to allow these guys if they don't have standing because they're not playing against the highest competition. I don't know. We'll see what happens with the LIV.
He's got to be it might do a better job. It makes, for the upper middle class, it makes it a tougher decision.
Yeah.
Unless the LIV just is throwing guaranteed money at them.
And you know what? And guess what? That's what they're worried about, is taking the top players.
No, exactly, because the top players are going to go.
Right.
You're going to lose a lot of those guys unless they fundamentally are opposed to playing for Saudi Arabia, if they have a moral compass. If it's not about their moral compass, then you got to make sure that you do make it. And this is a big deal for that.
They've lost 8 of the top 50 players. So what did the PGA Tour do? They countered with, well, we're going to keep the top 50 players here because, look, we've got our own LIV Tour, our own mini LIV Tour. So we're going to keep – and that's all the PGA Tour is worried about. They ain't worried about my guy Mark Hubbard going over to the LIV Tour. No one cares. But when Dustin Johnson goes, when Brooks Koepka goes, when top 50 players are going, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. All right, 713-780-3776. If you got any thoughts on anything that we've talked about so far, we got some Texans news that we got to get to. And some questions for you, Lance, on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And I'm not taking any jab at the Texans, Lance.
That's okay if you don't, because I can tell you this much. They are taking a jab at you, not the Texans, but Site Jab. Site Jab was started by Hector Garcia over 24 years ago. And that's back when web design was like, you look back at it now and you just think, golly, this is so basic. You look at some of the, you might be able to see screenshots of some old websites, or maybe you remember back in the early days of what websites looked like. I remember. And, but they came up more and more. And in 2002, it was a much different looking group of websites. Design was much slicker on the front end. But what's happened over the years is SiteJab's grown with the industry. And so from a back-end standpoint, from a front-end standpoint, the design, the back-end quality, it's married together with one product on a web design format that is just really smooth, fluid, and easy to look at. And understanding the analytics of consumer engagement is very important for my friends over at SiteJab, because they want, for your small to medium-sized business, they want people to stay on your site longer, to get the information faster, and that's what you have to do. Capture the eyes, maintain the eyes on your site, and then find a way to turn those eyes into business leads. And that's what your business and your product is going to do. They'll help shine the best light on your product, and they will help you turn more of those consumers who go to your website into actual business leads. Take advantage of your interactive website and turn it into a great opportunity for you to create more leads and more money for your company with SiteJab. I promise you, You're going to be very happy with the work they do. SITEJAB.com. That's sitejab.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Golden Nugget in Las Vegas.
By the way, did you see the picture that Chad Phelps sent on Twitter of Carlos Pena in the orange shirt that I was talking about? You see how jacked that dude is?
Yeah, he's. I mean, you're getting all worked up, bro.
No, Carlos Pena is.
He's.
I'm glad we got rid of Carlos Correa now.
What?
Small ass arms. Beat it.
Wow.
Big ass money, small ass arm.
Carlos never had a definition. He worked hard. He worked hard on his abs and his arms, and he just doesn't have the definition.
No, I mean that's some of that's just going to be genetic, but
yeah,
dude,
that's
Jeremy Pena's got the genetics.
No, yeah, he's got the genetics. No question.
That's a big looking dude, and he's going to be back. Well, Yordan comes back last night. His first game back from his injury. You know, he wasn't out for very long. But nice to see him come back and smack a home run with 107 exit velo. Got out of the ballpark. So Yordan had that. Nice to see Jose Altuve jump on another one now. 14 home runs for Altuve. And he leads All-Star voting. Are Astros going to go to the All-Star game this year?
Well,
Last year they did not go. And this year it's at Dodger Stadium. Are they
going
to go?
Altuve said he's going. My goodness. Will he get lit up in Dodger Stadium?
I know. Jeff Blum. Well, that's why I'm asking. I mean, I'm serious. No Astros.
No, he said Altuve said he'll go.
Astros went last year. This is in L.A. Right. Jeff Blum said, he said, hopefully Altuve bats first, Springer is in a two-hole, and Yordan's three. He said, what a great in Dodger Stadium. He goes, how great would that be in Dodger Stadium?
That would be totally, totally sweet.
Your first three, you're getting Astroed up, although – obviously, Yordan wasn't there for the 2017. Now, what you told me you had some really good news on the Texans is your quote.
No, I didn't say that.
I have some great news for the Texans.
Well, I didn't say I had great. I said I had some news and I had some questions for you. That's what I said. But first, Gronk retires. That's good news for the Texans because they don't have to face him now.
Yeah,
And then Drew Rosenhaus
comes out and goes, oh, easy. I wouldn't be surprised if this turns into a Tom Brady thing. What are y'all doing? Either retire or don't retire.
Stop. Like, this is something new. You've been watching boxing forever. You've been watching how many? Brett Favre. I mean, come on.
No, that's true. That's true. But for Gronk, there's no reason to retire if you're going to come out of retirement. Gronk, I think, is done. Tom Brady, I think, wanted to make sure Bruce Arians was gone. By the way, that feels like a very, very real thing. And hearing some more on that behind the scenes, I think that was that absolutely was a thing.
They both continue to deny it, but as soon as
Bruce steps down, all of a sudden Tom's like, I'm back. And Bruce didn't retire. He still stuck around to be a personnel guy? Dude, anybody who knows Bruce, and I've got a person close to me who knows Bruce pretty well, said that is the last thing he is a draft guy, is a personnel guy. So it smells like a situation where he's just collecting his paycheck. Like, I ain't not getting my paycheck because of this. So, and now Tom Brady's talking about maybe just doing it 1 year. That whole thing is, I'm starting to be like, oh, okay, I may have to cheer against Tom Brady this year.
Get what?
Yep.
No, we're not cheering against
Tom. Let's get him
Tom
out of
Brady.
Here. Get him out of here. It's enough, Tom.
America's sweetheart.
You can't retire multiple times.
No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. Let me ask you this. This is the headline. NFL's toughest job, Texans not poised for short-term success with Lovie Smith. According to NFL.com's Bucky Brooks, Lovie Smith has a task on his hands if he's to achieve any short-term success. Here's what Bucky said. It's hard to imagine a coach taking on a tougher challenge than the Texans' rebuilding project. The organization has allowed a lot of talent to walk out the door in the past few years without finding suitable replacements for the star power. Smith will attempt to win games with a hustle-hard approach that places a premium on effort, energy, and execution. I feel like Lovey's going to be here. I know he's 63, whatever he is, years old. But I feel like Lovey can be here for for 4 or 5 years.
I do, too. Look at the age of coaches. That's not.
I see a guy with a lot of energy. I see a guy that's in great shape. He's not, walking up and down the stairs.
His age is the least. No, that's me. Yeah. His age is the least. I don't want to coach the Texans for multiple years.
Right.
His age is the least. That's not even a factor to me.
So will Lovey? Okay. Suppose Lovey doesn't have any success this year. Suppose Lovey doesn't have much success next year.
We have to start first. What defines success?
Success is more than 5 wins. Six or more is exceeding expectations.
Okay, if Lovey Smith finishes with 5 or fewer wins for 2 years in a row, he'll get fired after two years.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
I think so. I don't think he gets 3 years.
And maybe deservedly so. Well, it certainly depends on what Mills is worth, what the deal was with Mills.
Right.
Let's say Mills is terrible and he doesn't win 5 games. Now you've got to draft a quarterback. You're going to get a quarterback. So now you've got a rookie quarterback. Are you going to put that on him again? Because you're playing a rookie quarterback and you don't have another successful season?
No, I think it's going to be really simple. If Lovey's, first of all, we know that Lovey was not the first choice. First choice was Josh McCown. If you missed it yesterday, I had that verified from two different people very close to the situation. Josh was going to be the head coach. The Brian Flores lawsuit was officially the thing that changed everything, where the Texans realized, sorry, Jack Easterby, we cannot go with your guy. We can't do it. We got to go in a different direction. This just isn't going to work. Let's go Lovey. That makes more sense. And Lovey now is taking that advantage. He's taking advantage of it and getting things done that he wants to get done. With that said, because he wasn't the first pick, I don't think they're going to have a lot of allowances for him. I think they want to see results. And if he doesn't win, let's say this. Let's say he wins 6 games this year and 7 games next year. I think they might give him a third year, depending on what the trajectory of those 7 wins. Did they have 3 or 4 close losses that could have gone either way? Well, if that's the case, yeah. You know, Lovey will get a third year if that's the case. He can go 7-10 and get a third year. You know, he can go 6-11, 7-10 and get a third year if you're trending upwards. And you and I both know what that looks like. I think Lovey can. I think if you're at 5 wins and that's it for 2 straight years, he has no chance of getting a third year because he wasn't their guy initially.
Yeah, but he did sign. There's more guaranteed money that the organization has to pay out.
The organization will just do what they do, which is pay out money.
And that's what they do. Is there any chance Lovey wins 8 games this year?
That's hard to imagine. Daniel Jeremiah and I yesterday on Move the Sticks, we looked at the AFC South and the NFC South, and what he wanted to do was name your rookie to have the best year, and then your second year player, that you think is the guy to watch or could come on or whatever the case may be. We both had Davis Mills for our second-year guy. And then our rookies were his was John Mechie, and mine was Kenyon Green. But, in talking about it, and DJ feels like that's clearly going to be a long-term deal. I think we all do. Inside the fan base, outside the fan base, you recognize the problems. But I will say this. Getting guys to play hard for you all the time, which we saw with that defense a lot last year, that's a big deal. That's a really big deal because it may not manifest itself in wins this year. Because one of the things DJ couldn't stop talking about was, hey, man, I do broadcast for the Chargers. I watched Davis Mills, and that was a really good game Davis Mills had against us when we were in town in the Chargers game. So he liked what he saw too. Guess what happens if they got a better running game? Guess what happens if Davis Mills takes the step that is typical of a second-year guy, a second-year quarterback? It could end up where all of a sudden the defensive intensity and the toughness, you know, some of those just like, hey, look at them play tough. It's a fun little talking point. That could actually turn into 2 wins for you, where your defense keeps you in games and your offense has a chance to actually generate points in the fourth quarter or come from behind and win a game. that might actually happen. And that's why defense playing hard is a really big deal. They're better players on the team this
year. You mean you have first and second round draft choices and you have better football players?
I don't
players?
Think you can just play heads up football and win eight games. I think it's going to take special teams and turnovers to do that. But the good news is Lovie Smith is notorious for coaching turnovers.
I agree with this. I finally agree with Art. With Lovie, this feels like more of a football team. Last year was an absolute joke.
Yes.
I mean, watching David Culley chew his tongue on the sideline was just like, oh, my gosh.
Right.
What are we doing? And nothing against David Culley, but goodness gracious. That's on the Texans for putting him in that position.
Right.
That's on them. I mean, I'll be embarrassed for that $20 million that he got. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with being embarrassed. You can do that to me too, Texans, if you want.
Oh yeah, no, I'll be embarrassed for a lot less than that.
Yeah. Oh no, I'll take two.
I'll take a cool million
to be embarrassed for a year.
You can embarrass me for a third of that.
Yeah. I mean, easy. So no. It does feel. It feels like more of a football team. It feels like there's organization. It feels like even from Caserio, and you got the word Jack Easterby out of the spotlight. Beat it, Jack. We don't know. You know, you're not making decisions here. To a real head football coach and a general manager that actually he makes decisions that are actually general manager-ish. I mean, that's it feels like a football team again, as opposed to the joke that they've been the last couple of years under O'Brien. And then under Culley. I mean, it just feels like a real NFL organization now with professional people.
I agree. So, and that's not something to scoff at because it's unbelievable.
No, because we know what it's like when it's not.
It's unbelievable that we're here right now, John, with really, frankly, with the Rockets and the Astros, where we have been. The Rockets are a year ahead, I think, of the situation just because they had their season earlier. Or they're, let's just say the Rockets are a season ahead. The Rockets were like, oh, my God, we're literally the bottom. Like, this is where the Rockets are on the bottom. They were.
I look at them differently, though. I think the Texans did it, put it on themselves. I know that I think that we got James Harden.
It was expedited, unfortunately, where you could see the sliding. But it actually was pretty quick. For the Rockets, it just dropped completely in the trash can. Actually, for the Texans, it did, too. It went from winning division of four wins. And then another four.
Well,
wins.
So but it was self-induced.
It was self-induced. It was really self-induced by Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson and everything else. No question. But it's weird that we're at a point after 20 years. This is their 20th year in their organization. They're literally at a point where we're happy with the bar is so low that we're saying, hey, this feels like a real NFL organization.
No,
not a team that's been relegated.
Isn't that funny? We don't care that they're going to have four wins this year. They just seem like a professional organization. That's a bonus. That's the bar right now. That's unbelievable. That
it
is
really
unbelievable.
Is.
All right. 713-780-3776. When we get back, I want to hear more from this Jay Billis. We got some more sound from Jay Billis about this draft pick.
Jay Billis. I want to hear more from this Jay Billis guy.
This person named Jay Billis.
This Jay we will Billis hear, person.
They had him on in the afternoon yesterday, so we will hear more from him on the other side. But right now, we got a little QC Kinetic.
QC Kinetic says, look, guys, you don't have to, and ladies, if you've got, because my wife right now is dealing with this bone-on-bone grade 4 deterioration of cartilage in her knee. And she is going into QC Kinetics. And what we're trying to do is get her right, get her back so she can. She finished her Boston Marathon. She knew she was bone on bone on the knee and it was going to be tough, but she's a very mentally tough person. So she got through it. But now she's really dealing with a lot of pain and trying to run. She can only go about 3 miles, 4 miles at the most right now. And she wants to run a Berlin Marathon. And so, you know, QC Kinetics is the solution for that. And we're going to try that out. Here's the thing with QC Kinetics for chronic pain and issues with your knee, your shoulder, your lower back, your wrist. I don't care where it is. Wherever you have issues, QC Kinetics can work with you on taking growth properties from your body. They're highly concentrated. They are put back into your joints. And what it does is it's a regenerative process to where tissue is restored and regenerated in areas of your joints that really can relate to an improvement in pain. So if you deal with chronic pain like I had a guy named Ken who listens to the show. He went in for one treatment. He has an issue with the torn labrum in his shoulder. He said the pain went from an 8 to a 5 after one treatment. He was so excited by this. And if you live with chronic pain, you know that this is exciting. If your hip now doesn't feel the same and you know that you're not immediately going to hip replacement or knee replacement, for a lot of you, you're too young for something like that. And chronic pain's not something you should just live with. Go with the experts who can help you with all natural, restorative, regenerative medicine that can keep you away from the steroid shots and the surgeries and the downtime. That's QC Kinetics. 713-913-5285. Set up your free consultation today. 713-913-5285. That's QC Kinetics.
ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
By the way, while we buried one of the leads today, Lance, big ups to the city. Big news yesterday. Didn't know if it was going to come through, but it did. John Wall has made his decision to opt into his $47.4 yes. million dollar contract.
Yes.
So we've got John Wall for another year. Thank you. Good night. We win. The city wins. Everybody yep. wins.
So we got our playmaker back, which is huge.
Right. He didn't make many plays last year.
No, but he was dealing with a lot of different stuff about, like, I think he had contractors over to put new ceiling fans in and whatnot. So he was busy. But
see, you think he put ceiling fans in with his $44 million contract last year?
Yeah, probably things like that. I just had
$91 million, and he's not going to play 1 second for the team. $91 million. Not a second. That's unbelievable.
You know, it's not my money, but it does show million. There's a fundamental flaw.
Do you know how many steaks you have to sell, Tillman has to sell to make $91 million?
I'm not worried about Tillman's money. What I am worried about, though, because I'm a Rockets fan, is this is literally, like, this is the one – I am kind of bothered by fully guaranteed contracts. And I know my agent friends hate hearing that, and I've got one listening now. But it really prevents, like, you. The NBA is becoming a great example of when you give too much money. Like, and I'm not saying too much money, like you're paid too much. I'm just saying there is definitely a number where players basically just have F you money, and they don't have to, and they won't if it's fully guaranteed. There is no desire to get back for some of the guys. And John Wall may or may not go to the Lakers. I know there's some talk about the Rockets could be involved in a trade. Here's what it wouldn't be the Lakers. I guess it would. There's talks about getting Kyrie. If I'm the Rockets, unless I get something good, I'm not going to try to help get Kyrie to the Lakers. What are y'all giving me?
Well, there was a mock trade, just to help you guys out with the conversation here just a little bit. Per reports, the two sides, the Rockets and John Wall, if there is no trade to be found, they are working on a buyout. Also, there was a trade in the talks, which would be Kyrie to the Lakers, John Wall to Brooklyn,
yeah,
and Russell Westbrook to Houston. I guess you guys would buy Westbrook
and then
out.
Houston would buy out Westbrook. So what's in it for the Rockets? I'm not helping y'all.
I mean, would you say we'll do the deal, but L.A., you have to give us your two first-round picks in 2027 and 2029?
I'd say pay off part of this deal for us. And then, yeah, I want something in return. I'm not trying to help other teams. I'm not trying to facilitate Kyrie Irving to live his best life. That's not my problem. That's not my problem, L.A. That's not my problem, Kyrie. I'm not trying to do that. We already know the Rockets don't want any piece of you know, the ball massager in Russell Westbrook. They don't want that. So what's in it for me if I'm the Rockets?
Well, yeah, nothing. Well, if two first rounders from the Lakers, okay. They haven't gotten this yet. They've been working on this Russell Westbrook, John Wall thing for a while, and they haven't gotten they haven't gotten it done. So that's not happening. Should Russell, should Kyrie Irving opt into his $36.5 million contract?
Well, I think
this year?
From a financial standpoint, the answer is yes.
I think it might be no.
You don't think he should?
He can get more in a max deal if he becomes a free agent. Max.
Did you hear what they're offering him?
Offering
him an incentive-based contract where basically they're saying, we know you're just going to take off your own days whenever you feel like it, so we're going to put a lot of incentives in here. We want a short-term incentive-based deal. There's no way Kyrie will sign that. You know, he just wants free money to be able to do whatever he wants. And then
he's going
to
face the same thing next offseason. It'll be interesting to see if somebody who doesn't break and just go, you know, because NBA teams need stars.
And Kyrie can still play. I mean, he can play, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. The talent is not in doubt.
No.
You just have to bet on the fact that you're the team that can get Kyrie to be less crazy. And guess what? That's a losing proposition.
Yeah.
And I know L.A. thinks, but L.A. can't do it financially. I mean, they need help. So Kyrie... I'm sure the Lakers think, well, LeBron James, he's played with them before, and Kyrie's made comments about he was immature, yada, yada, yada. But everyone's going to find out, no matter where he goes, it's a problem.
Best case scenario for LeBron is Kyrie goes there. Kyrie is there for most of the games instead of birthday parties. If LeBron is there, he missed some time, but I think he took it off because they sucked. And if Anthony Davis can actually play, the Lakers are back. The Lakers are going to be a formidable opponent if they've got that threesome and they're actually on the court.
Those are the two of them are really big ifs. Kyrie Irving's a big if, and Anthony Davis is a big if. I think LeBron is going to miss time because he's just an older player who's physically starting to show some signs of breaking down, but I'm not worried about LeBron the player.
No, LeBron the player is still good. Kyrie the player is still good. And Anthony Davis the player
think a big three. So you remember this, John, when it was Clyde, Olajuwon, and Charles Barkley, they got along okay the first year, and the second year it was a disaster because there's just certain alpha personalities that cannot coincide
with almost every big three.
It works great when you have a Chris Bosh because it's easy because Chris Bosh takes his role.
Yeah.
I think Anthony Davis has to have first of all, if he's healthy, Anthony Davis needs to be maybe the number one, the primary factor in the whole thing. I mean, RJ, that's your squad. You can speak to it, but Anthony Davis, when he's healthy, is a really special player, and he plays a position where there's not a lot of great bigs who have his talent. There's a smaller number, and all those guys are like finishing 1-2 in MVP voting now. So Anthony Davis feels like he should be the one who gets the ball less. I think that's a tricky, quote-unquote, big three because Kyrie is not going to play second fiddle. That's not happening. I mean, he will play second fiddle to an extent, but he's not going to really acquiesce his game. And LeBron is the ultimate alpha
in the
league.
There's so many shots, though. I don't know that anybody has to. I mean, honestly, there's plenty of basketball.
It's not
there's 48 minutes.
It's not the basketball. It's when are their shots. It's
well, that's true. It's the end.
The real tricky one.
Yeah, I think
this is the thing. I think LeBron wants to do something more along the lines of what Kawhi has tried to do with the Clippers, but it just hasn't worked out. Like, he wants to sit out 25, 30 games, you know, hey – and if I sit out, the team's not going to be all that bad. You have two other superstars.
The league is trying to stop that now.
I think that's LeBron's thing. I think LeBron saw it with Kawhi a little bit. You know, this whole load management. And I can sit out 30 games, and my team could be, I don't know, 20-10 without me. And, you know, it'll be okay. And that's what I think LeBron tried to do with Westbrook, and it blew up in his face. I think he would want to do the same thing with Kyrie. The question, which was interesting that you brought it up, Lance, I think Anthony Davis, to me, I think he's a guy that likes basketball. I don't know if he loves it. I think he got the bubble trophy. I think he got the bubble trophy, and I think he's like...
You think Kyrie is like that too?
I don't think Kyrie is. I think Kyrie's just a weird dude, but I think he loves the game. Anthony Davis is like, I'm done. Like, I'm done. I did everything that I needed to do.
Let me reposition it for you.
Okay.
Does he love pro basketball? I think there's a difference between loving. When I say love basketball, you have to be part of loving basketball is being okay with the stuff that is kind of the grind. You know, he obviously loves to play basketball, but does he love playing pro basketball enough to where he can't wait to play. And maybe, you know, and I don't know, maybe that's romanticized. Maybe most players are not a situation where they can't wait to play. You know, that may be Pollyanna to think it's like that. But he doesn't strike me as a guy who, like, even James, I always go back to James because we know James loves the strip clubs. But James always checked in for games. He was always there. He was always available and durable when you needed him. For most of his career, does Kyrie give you that? Like, I don't get that vibe from him.
Kyrie gave me that vibe when he was in Cleveland. Then he got to Boston, and it was like, eh. And then he gets to Brooklyn, and now he's trying to be this.
Well, in
Malcolm
fairness, he was hurt
guy.
In Boston, though. In
he
fairness,
was,
he was
but
hurt
still,
in
it still felt like he was a guy that said, "I want to prove that I can win without LeBron."
Yeah, right.
Now he's in Brooklyn, and it just feels like he's kind of like, eh, you know, part-time Kyrie is still better than, you know, maybe 40-50% of the league. But, you know, and I'm trying to be more of this, you know, motivational guy, you know, stand up for yourself. I'm a man of the people, you know, and I just don't think that there's a guy except for one. And that's why I think everybody's talking themselves into the Lakers. I think LeBron's the only person that can say, "I will see yo ass in crypto on Sunday." Like, don't do this whole, you know, "I need to take 2 weeks off, LeBron, you know, mentally. I'm just not." Dude, the game's at 7, all right? Traffic is pretty bad around 5:30. I hope to see you on that 6:05. Joining me, going down into the little parking lot, and we're going to get dressed, and we're going to play. Don't be playing this stuff with me over here, Kyrie. And I think Kyrie would be like, "You right, LeBron. You right. I'm going to stop." Like, that's where I feel.
All right, when we come back, we'll get to Jay Billis talking about Paolo Banchero. On the other side, right here, still ahead, Adam Schefter is going to join us to talk about this Deshaun thing. That's at 9:15 right here on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, we got some insurance to talk about.
And the insurance company is TGS Insurance. We're talking about homeowners insurance. Now, some of you may still be with the same company because you keep your homeowners insurance because they give you the discounted rates for your auto insurance or vice versa. And you have the bundles. They call them the bundles. So you get the bundles because you do home and auto with the same company. And that's great. You get that discounted rate. But is it really discounted? Because if you take a look at TGS Insurance with the homeowners insurance and you text the word money to 232323, you may take a look at your homeowner's insurance right now and compare it to what they text you back. When you text the word money to 232323, they give you a quote within 15 seconds, and it's a firm quote on A-rated insurance. I'm talking about A-rated homeowner's insurance. Compare that versus what you pay with your homeowner's insurance. Let's say the savings is let's say it's $650. You say, "Yeah, but the bundle." You're not going to be able to beat the bundle, though. Look at the bundle. Look at what I get for my auto insurance. I've worked with TGS Insurance before where they found me auto insurance as well. They did the work on that one. And my own quote-unquote bundle where I basically shop for home and shop for auto through TGS Insurance was still less than the bundle for my other company. That's how I originally switched from TGS Insurance. Just because you get a quote-unquote bundle doesn't mean you're getting the best rates on home and even auto insurance. Why don't you start the process of looking into it by shopping through TGS, letting them do the heavy lifting? They'll search for a variety of A-rated insurance companies, homeowners, and they'll find the lowest homeowners insurance they can find. And you can make the decision from there. Text the word money to 232323. That's TGSinsurance.com.
This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
D-Bench!
Tell them again!
D-Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. So we got some good stuff here. Tomorrow's the NBA draft. Rockets picking third. The thought is Jay Billis thought it for sure it is going to be Smith and Holmgren 1-2 and Banchero will be there for 3. Here is Jay Billis yesterday on these airwaves breaking down Paolo Banchero's game.
Banchero had a great year. You know, his body's NBA ready right now. He's 255 pounds at 6'10". And he's really a great combination of power and skill. And I think he's going to become a better shooter. He can knock down threes, but he only shot 33%. I think he can do better than that as he goes forward. He'll refine his mechanics and become a more consistent three-point shooter at the NBA level because he's still only 19 years old. But he's very, very talented. And he's going to have to improve his defense. Like, I think he's got the ability to be a good defender. I don't think he showed it very much his freshman year at Duke. But he's got great second jump. He's explosive off the floor. There's not a lot to dislike about Paolo Banchero.
No, not a lot. And hopefully he will be – I hope. We'll see. Maybe Chet Holmgren is the best player in this draft. Maybe it is Jabari Smith. I don't think you're – with the third pick, I don't think you had a chance at Jabari Smith. We'll see how all three games – maybe it's going to be Jaden Ivey. Who knows who's going to be the best player in this draft. We'll see. But Paolo Banchero certainly is a nice, nice fit for this team, especially perfect. I mean, Jaden Ivey might be the best player in this draft, but – the Rockets ain't in the market. They're just not in the market for a Jaden Ivey.
Here's the thing, though, John. No, Jaden Ivey won't be a Rocket, but here's the thing. Will the Rockets even draft third? Because yesterday, Rafael Stone, the Rockets GM, and Tillman Fertitta, the owner of the Rockets, met with the media, and Rafael Stone talked about their aggressive nature.
We're going to be aggressive. Like that's probably the biggest commonality that Tillman and I bring to life. We're aggressive people, and we're going to be aggressive. It doesn't mean we'll get anything done. It doesn't mean it'll happen. We're only going to do deals that we internally decide are really good ones. But we're going to call everybody 5,000 times, and we're going to see if there are different options that can be found and different ways to put the puzzle together.
And this is how the puzzle is, honestly, okay? Mm. We could get traded another first round and draft four guys, or we might not draft anybody, okay? You have to have that mindset going into the next 72 hours that you have to be you have to look at, is this going to make me better 3 years from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, even 8 years from now? And that's what all the decisions are based on. This year, like we said, we want improvement in every area, but we're really looking out there and see the window of what's happening in the Western Conference and how teams are getting older. And, I mean, it's so funny to look at, but when we were our best, the worst teams were Phoenix and Dallas and Memphis. And look at those teams now because of the draft.
I agree. Look at Golden State was a horrible organization. Look at their drafts and what happened to them. I mean, Rockets are picking high now every year. Plus, they've got the Nets. If I told you that the Rockets are going to be one of the best organizations in the league in 5 years, would you buy it?
I think it's possible.
It's possible.
I mean,
too.
I don't think it's the favorite because nobody in the league you'd say is the favorite. There's only You can only be one of the best organizations. There's only going to be like four teams that can really legitimately be one of the best organizations. The rest of
just
them would be good.
Five years ago, the Rockets were one of the
Yeah. And Rafael and Eli Wittes, I mean, the two guys who worked under Daryl are still here, are still with the Rockets. So it's not like there's not an idea of – they still have the idea of value-oriented contracts and things like that. So – yeah, I think the one thing that I do have a concern with once you get to a rebuild, and I think this is a legitimate concern, is that Daryl did not believe in chemistry. Fundamentally, and I've talked about this before, analytics guys don't believe in human things. They just don't. And I think it's a huge blind spot that really limits their understanding in a way that, you know, where a lot of numbers people and analytics people have long clamored for all the different sports and especially football to be more inclusive of numbers and data and analytics because it eliminates bias. I think the inability or unwillingness to accept that there are human elements that have impacts on games, I think it's a huge mistake for teams to downgrade that or to de-emphasize that or to not take it seriously because it's enormous. Managing egos is enormous on the NBA level. So the reason I bring this up is because even if Eli Wittes and Rafael Stone, they have a great feel for value. They do a great job with evaluating talent like Jalen Green. You know, I think there's still something there in terms of making sure you have the right building blocks early on in the process so that Jalen Green comes up the right way. Just the same way when you have a 3, a 4, a 5, a 6-year-old, you want to have them, you know, you want cognitive learning, and you want behaviors and certain levels of morality. You want to instill right and wrong because they absorb so much, and this is who they're going to be based on the building blocks when they're young. I mean, I think it's the same with a young team. If you teach them, like the Cincinnati Bengals are coming up a certain way, and I think it's going to pay huge dividends. The Houston Rockets, the same thing, John. We saw that. They came up a certain way with a certain mindset, a certain attitude, and a certain work ethic that has benefited them. The Rockets are in that same potential. They're still in the building block stage, but you got to have the right way that you're coming up. And for that, I think it takes chemistry, and I think it definitely takes a maturity somewhere and leadership so that you're able to take some of the volatility of young players and shepherd it in the right direction.
Oh, no.
And I hope Rafael Stone recognizes that and emphasizes that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at the Celtics and look at the addition that Al Horford was. Look at Phoenix and the addition that Chris Paul was. I mean, you can't argue it. You certainly can't. But with the abundance of picks that they have their own, and if they're bad again next year, they're going to have another high pick. The Nets' possibilities are endless of all the players that you're going to get from that. I think that this team, if they make the right decisions, look at Philadelphia. Philadelphia had the process.
Yeah.
They blew it on Markelle Fultz. They blew it on Okafor. They're still one of the better teams in the league. And they still just screwed up as much as they possibly could.
Because all
with
you need to do
picks.
Is, honestly, realistically, you just need to hit one. You need to hit one big, and the second one needs to turn into other players.
That's
or whatever.
It. And Banchero is that possibility now.
Yeah.
And when you get big picks from the
Shingun?
Nets.
Shingun? No, I think it's trending in the right direction. It's trending like Astros. It really is. And I listen, for as much as people down Chad Holmgren because he's a tall, skinny white guy, which in and of itself probably requires a conversation, like you probably need anybody who just says because he's white, he may not be a good player, that probably requires an internal dialogue of what exactly it is that you're judging here based on the kid. He's tall, he's skinny, I get that. He is skilled, and NBA people seem to like him a lot. I'll admit, he's not my number one choice. My number one choice is Banchero, then Jabari Smith, and then Chet. But I do think that even if Chet Holmgren ends up a Rocket, they're a better team. I mean, they're going to be a better team, but it is getting the right pieces together. But when you look at it, man, oh my gosh, Jalen Green and Shingun are different types of young players. They play different types of games, which is great. That's a positive, by the way. And I think finding the right guy next to – here's a question that came up. Where did Dennis Schroeder – what happened with him? Is he still under contract? Did he opt out yet?
He just left.
So he officially opted out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he left.
I didn't hate it that he was on the team, to be honest with you.
No.
I didn't hate it. I thought Dennis Schroeder actually played some pretty good ball.
Yeah. I had forgotten he was there. But, yeah, he opted out. He's out of the organization now. That happened a couple of days ago.
Okay.
All right, 713-780-3776. Talk about the Astros on the other side and the big win last night against the Mets. And still ahead just 15 minutes from now, Adam Schefter's going to be with us to talk about Deshaun Watson. That's happening. But first, let's talk about Craig DeSerf.
Well, so Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, they understand that you've got choices when it comes to purchasing a vehicle or leasing a vehicle. And the reason they want me to talk to you is because I want to make sure that you recognize the fact that I know they're out in Angleton. That's like 42 minutes away from downtown Houston. But they never, no matter the supply and demand issues, they have never gone over sticker price and never will. It's not the way they do business. A lot of companies right now are taking this opportunity to have their highest sales and their highest profits. And frankly, they're taking advantage of you guys with their price points because they can. And that's not what Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC is all about. They're never going to do that. The other thing that they're going to do is they're going to make sure that your trade-in value is top of the line. They want to get the most for you out of your trade-in value. They want to find the most most programs and offers for you possible so you pay the lowest number. They want to work with you so that you're so happy before, during, and even after the sale with their award-winning service center that you tell your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, and that you come back for your second and third car and fourth car as well. That's what you're dealing with. And guess what? You can do all that just by going to the website, LanceZCars.com. If you want, you can buy your car from there. They'll even drive it into Houston for you. That's how they do business. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. For more information, go to LanceZCars.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.